It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
I'm Mark Willard, and this is Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile, an official San Francisco Giants podcast. In Season 1, we looked back at some of the most iconic moments in franchise history. Now, it's time to focus on the present and future. We'll cover memorable wins and the off-field moments, interests, and personalities of the 2021 Giants team and staff. Join us for Season 2 of Inside Giant Moments, now. One of the fun aspects of this current group of Giants is that a handful of them were once just like us, fans of the team. Among those players is Mauricio Dubon, who landed in Sacramento from Honduras right when the Giants were starting their magical run to 3 World Series championships. He and his family were diehard Giants fans, which makes for an amazing story as they watched him become a player for their favorite team. This is now Season 3 in a Giants uniform for you. Can we officially say now, you tell me, that this is officially sunk in? You play for the team that you followed when you were young?
No, it's funny. Not really. Like, it haven't sunk in yet. Like, it's funny just having these guys around. And, you know, we have Travis Ishikawa here, and I had like a little like fan moment when I saw him.
Yeah. Do you run some of these moments through your head still when you're running into all these people from the past?
Oh yeah. He's the one of the coordinators here, and it was my first time actually meeting him, and I came in and in my mind I was like, can you cuss here or no? No, right? No. Okay.
No, yes, you. Of course, you, yeah, Mauricio. Yeah, I mean, well, let's keep it as clean as we can, but don't worry about anything. Yeah, don't.
No, I was like, dang, that's Travis in Chicago. And then the first thing I said to him, I like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I was there when you hit the home run at the NLCS. Yeah, I love the story. And I just went on and on and on. I was like, and then I caught myself, dang, I'm not quiet right now. I'm talking a lot. So then I'm like, I got to tone it down a little bit.
Where were you that night? Where were you sitting?
I was sitting on the third base side, like on the second deck. On the second deck with the third base side. It was crazy. Still have memory. I remember my host dad telling me, watch, one day you're going to remember this thing for the rest of your life and you're not going to forget. You're going to tell your kids again. Like, till this day, like, it felt like it was yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. So how would you describe that moment? That ball goes over the fence. You, just as a fan, what was that moment like?
As soon as he hit it, I was like, okay, it's gone. And then I remember I started hugging lady and the lady next to me. I have no idea who she was. Just going around and hugging people. We stayed there for a ceremony. It was crazy. My the thing I remember the most is PB trying to grab Ishikawa around the third base side.
Oh, man, what a moment, what a moment. You know, I wonder, before all that took place, let's go back to before you got to California and you're in Honduras. To what level are you following MLB, and did you have a favorite team then?
You know, I mean, I follow, like, when they play Sunday Night Baseball or like, anybody play, and literally, like, the Yankees are well around over there. You know, Jeter, you know, the main guy you know about over there, just because that's the most popular guy. But I didn't know many baseball players, so I got to the States and started watching baseball pretty much every day, and you know, following the Giants pretty much every day since I got here. And you know, it was just crazy, just though, like, the feeling you get for a team and everything. I always wonder how, like, people get so into stuff. And you know, when I was a fan, I got into it. We had a conversation with Croft this morning about it, like, saying, he was talking about the gloves and everything, and And he was mentioning about, I remember. I don't remember. He said, I don't remember if you had this color of glove when in 2009. And I actually correct. No, you had this color of glove this year.
So you know more about Brandon Crawford 2011 than he does.
Probably.
So that's interesting. You make the call to come to the States. You end up in Sacramento. And I'd love to hear about how that relationship with the Giants as a fan starts to develop.
Yeah, like my whole family was a big Giants fan. Big Giants fan. When I got into my room, it was literally like Giants all over. Like the room was painted in orange and black and like posters all over the place. And literally like every day, 7 o'clock, Giants are playing. 1 o'clock at Sundays after church, we go, Giants are playing. And literally every day, like, oh, the Giants are playing today, the Giants are playing today. And, you know, Sacramento's around the corner. So my high school coach, big Giants fan. So he's like, since it was meant to be, since I got to the States, all I think was Giants.
And then here you are. And I wonder, you know, you even said a few minutes ago, no, it hasn't really fully sunk in. And so I wonder when it's time stamped in your mind, does it feel like yesterday? Does it feel like forever ago? I mean, this was only about a decade ago that we're talking about.
You know, it's crazy just because it feels like 3 years ago, I was still playing high school, going on the highway, going to see the Giants play, and I'm you know, excited to go to, at that time was AT&T, and just, you know, just watching the guys play and everything. Now I'm, you know, it's I get not emotional, but I get like a little feeling of every time I put that cream uniform and going out there and playing, you know, hearing Rennell just say my name, it's pretty special.
So still, going into year three, I mean, will that feeling ever go away, you think?
I hope not. I hope, you know, I'm always, like it's going. I don't think it's going to go away. It's just because, you know, it's Sacramento pretty much, you know, everybody, a Giants fan, and, you know, coming, and my whole family is over there. So by the time I come back and everything, Giants fan, big Giants fans, big, you know, and it's like, it's crazy just, you know, the one team I rooting for, and you know, 5 years later I'm here with them. It's pretty crazy.
It's wild. How often did you go to games when you were with your host family?
Oh, I went to a lot of games. Anytime we had a chance, no summer, no travel, no baseball, no anything, we just go to the, you know, to the Bay and watch a game.
To what level are you still in touch with them? I would assume you are, but you know,
oh, no.
With their relationship with the Giants, how in touch are you on that level?
Oh no, they're my mom and my dad. I mean, they were here a couple of days from they came from Cali to watch a couple of spring training games. I mean, in the off days, I try to go back over there to Sacramento and then just, you know, spend time with them and then come back here. They go to the Giants games. I mean, when I got called up, they did a drive for like a week from Sacramento to San Francisco. Just to watch me play.
You know, it's interesting. I sort of thought timing-wise, as you arrived, it's right when the Giants were starting their epic run. And I thought maybe that's why you became such a fan. But it sounds like the family you were with were diehards no matter win or lose. So do you think that your fandom is larger because of the timing of all of it? Or would it have been this way either way?
I think it would have been this way just because the only baseball they showed was San Francisco. Like, that was the thing. That was the only guys, like it showed, like, for me. Like, when I went to the – we were not watching MLB Network. We were watching, you know, the Giants TV station and everything. And it was just, like, every day, Giants. And so you grew up, you know, you rooting for them or saying, like, how come they didn't make a play or something. Like, it was crazy. I actually told my dad, like, you cuss now when I'm playing? Like, because he used to cuss a lot when he was playing. So I'm like, hey, remember, I told him, like, hey, remember that when I screw up the base running, do you cuss at me? Or what do you, like, you know, do you realize that it was me? I'm like, Well, at the beginning, I was a little, you know, sad, but then I realized it was huge, so it kind of went away a little bit. So, but nah, yeah.
sounds like the answer might have been yes. Like, you think he's ever cussed at the TV when he's talking to you?
Oh, yeah, he probably cussed me out a couple of times.
I wonder who had your attention the most back then. We know your love for Crawford. We know your love for Posey. These guys are teammates now. Craw at your position back then. Buster was the MVP in the face of the team. Who had your attention the most?
You know, for me, it was Craw. Like, they're just coming in, you know, play short and, you know, having that swagger coming in the game. You know, it's crazy. I mean, that guy won a Gold Glove and being so good and everything. But the thing with Posey, that he handled himself back in, like, in the thing. And then the thing that literally I told my wife, I've been heartbroken twice in my life. When my first girlfriend said no, and then when Buster Posey got hurt.
Wow. That's a big statement.
Yeah. When he got hurt in 11, my mom cried, actually.
Yeah, how often do you reflect on something like that? Because, by the way, looks like it all worked out. I mean, now you have found your rightful partner in life, and you're also a teammate of Buster Posey's. So those tears back then, and look at the way it worked out.
Oh, yeah. Thank God I'm with my wife, because she – honestly, I wouldn't be here without her. She's been amazing on every step of the way. It's crazy how life works, and, you know, she's been unreal and awesome. Sometimes I take a step back and say, thank God she chose me, because I definitely chose her, but she chose me. And you know, with Posey, it's crazy now, just because, you know, he's a crazy, unreal career. You want to have that as a player when you come up in the big leagues, and he has pretty much accomplished everything and what you can accomplish in baseball. And, you know, it's just crazy having him around and he's having his thoughts on things and the mentality.
You mentioned that when you were still in Honduras, you know, you only heard about the Yankees or Derek Jeter. What about now, because of you? Is Honduras Giants country?
Oh, it's crazy. That was the third time I was with my wife a couple of days ago. Like, I was in Honduras, and I was waiting on a line at Popeyes, and I was just waiting for right there, and then a guy had a Giants hat, and I was like, hey, nice hat. Oh, thank you. And then turn around, had no idea.
So he's wearing a Giants hat probably because of you, but he still didn't recognize you?
Yes, it's crazy. It's just because everything, like, it's great. Like, people come with Giant stuff and, like, hey, let's take a picture. You want me to sign it? Or I'm like, it's just crazy the amount of, you know, support you can get from a country.
Next up is hitting coach Donnie Ecker, who grew up in Los Altos loving the Giants. His coaching career was going well in Cincinnati, and he wasn't looking to leave until his dream team came calling.
I mean, you've bounced around California your whole life. I was, you know, born in Bakersfield, Los Altos High. You went to Long Beach State. You coached at Los Altos High. You coached at Bakersfield College. Give us a full idea of that background and what that upbringing was like. And what do you consider home?
Home is the Bay Area. It's where I spent, you know, from the age of and all the way until my adult years. So the first 6 years of my life were in Bakersfield, and then Bay Area, Mountain View, Los Altos that's considered home for me.
And how much of a part of that upbringing in the Los Al area, how much of your childhood then involved the Giants? Like, what was your experience following that team growing up?
Yeah. You know, I've said this before, you know, when I was hired, and, you know, I wasn't somebody that, you know, had a big imagination as a kid, or I wasn't a big dreamer. But the one thing that could spark a fire in me or inspire me was Candlestick, and it was the Giants. So that's just something that's lived inside of me. You know, I've joked, but like, I get it. You know, I understand the standards here. I grew up watching it. So it's just always been something that's true inside my heart. And, you know, needless to say, to put on the uniform now it's still surreal.
I was a Candlestick kid too. What does that say about us? You got to be kind of hardcore to do that on a weekly basis.
And those are the roots, you know. It's to me growing up in the Bay Area when I did, it was so blue collar, you know, and it's really known, you know, for big Silicon Valley now. But when I think Candlestick, I think of the roots. I think of blue collar. You know, I think of all the grassroots that eventually went into Oracle and all those World Series they won.
How often did you go to games?
I'd probably catch about 10 a year.
Okay. And you know, what are some of the memories? Who are the players that stand out? Who are your favorite guys?
I mean, it was Barry, and then I was a big fan of our managers. I was a big fan of Felipe Alou, Dusty Baker, Ron Wotus, and then the Bruce Bochy years. I've always gravitated towards studying and watching coaches, actually, even more so than players. So I was always really attracted to the leadership and some of those head figures that were mainstays. But, you know, of course, you grow up and in that area, and, you know, Barry Bonds is everything. You stop every single time he's on TV. The whole stadium stops when he's hitting. He definitely captured my attention.
I've gotten that feeling every time I've talked to you that you were always destined to be a coach. I mean, if you were a young person and you were most excited about, you know, Felipe Alou and Ron Wotus, maybe this is truly what you were meant to do.
Yeah, it's, man, especially during those years with Boch and Woe, I anytime the camera would be at an angle, I wouldn't, you know, the side angle of the hitter, I would go right into the dugout and I'd watch them. And now being as close to Ron Wotus as I am now, I probably bombard him with so many questions. And, hey, what were you thinking in this situation? What about, you know, the series against Detroit? What were you doing there? And it's really fun. You know, those guys didn't have all the analytics and computers, so they were figuring out stuff with their heart and their gut and their eyes. And it's pretty fun to study.
Any games that stand out from attending when you were younger? Were there some great moments where you were there? What are your favorite memories?
Yeah, Bonds is his record-breaking homer. I didn't know who Matt Cain was at all, but I happened to go to Cain's debut, and I remember being slightly disappointed, you know, that it wasn't somebody else like Lincecum. And and I, you know, I'm like, who's this Matt Cain debut? And he had a nice outing and obviously, you know, a fantastic career. And then the 2010 playoffs, those were a few that stand out. But I'll tell you, like, nothing more than the 10, 12, 14, that decade run, being glued to the TV, watching every single pitch, that still trumps every game that I attended in person.
So with all of this a part of your past, what does it mean to you to be putting this uniform on now on a daily basis?
I'll continue to use this word, but it's gratitude and it's this deep responsibility, you know, to specifically in my domain, it's to build an offense here that nobody wants to face. So you honor the past with everything you have, and you understand the people that have paved the way before you. And now putting on that uniform, it's like we owe it to Boch, we owe it to Sabian, we owe it to Will Clark, we owe it to Lincecum, Zito, like go on and on, all the way back to Willie Mays. Like every day I put on that uniform, I think about those guys, and then it's like, let's get to work and make sure that they're proud. You know, they're proud of turning the TV on and watching our offense.
That's an amazing answer. And you put it on every day now, but I wonder, and I bet you do remember the very first time that you put it on. What were the emotions you were feeling when you did that?
Just had to check myself, you know, like, okay, you know, it's really putting on the cream. you know, because it's the creams are unique across all of baseball. Like the Giants creams, you know, it's what stands out about our uniform. So I think that it's going to be even a little bit more this year with fans, but the first game I ever coached in Oracle was against the Giants when I was a Cincinnati Red. So, and I can tell you, I didn't like it. You know, I didn't like it at all. It just never felt right. So putting on the Giants uniform and, you know, representing them, taking care of our home stadium and wearing the creams is, there's nothing like that.
Was it always a goal to work with the Giants, or did you even allow that to be a goal? Because I know it sort of happened quickly. Like, your rise through the ranks happened quickly, and you've stated you weren't looking to leave the Reds. But did you have eyes for getting back home at some point?
I never thought about it in my journey. Never. It wasn't even on my radar. And, you know, I never thought I was going to be a major league hitting coach. I never, like I said, I wasn't a big dreamer. I wasn't a 5-year goal guy. I'm still not, you know, just deeply obsessed with the craft, and wherever you're at, you want to be the best that you can be in that moment for the people that you're in charge for. And to your point, it did happen fast. And, you know, during that end of my year in Cincinnati, I'm looking at buying a house there. You know, was on David Bell's staff. I got promoted to the director of hitting, where I was going to help with the, you know, be with the big league team, but also oversee everything they do A to Z offensively. And, you know, I'd gotten calls for other head jobs, and I actually had turned those phone calls down because I was really happy with where I was. And then I knew the Giants made moves and that there were openings. And then when Cap got hired, I actually was like, oh man, bummer, because I didn't know him at all. Never met him, never talked to him. So, you know, and then that phone rings and it was like, you know, is this a joke or are we really going to do this? So that's when it became real. And then obviously, you know, the interview process and here we are.
You mentioned that hiring process under Gabe was one of the most exhaustive things you've ever seen. What did you have to do?
You know, I think hopefully everyone, if they've studied, you know, Cap at all, they know he's meticulous and extremely thorough, and he's going to turn over every single rock in everything he does. So the interview process was no different. It was, you know, the first one was a 8 to 10 hour day through 7 different departments. So it's really getting touch points with front office, medical, strength and conditioning, farm directors, advanced scouting, biomechanics, analysts. You know, you got to go through all those departments. It's not just see ball, hit ball. You know, when I talk to the medical staff, I need to talk with Gresh about what's the plan with Buster Posey with his hips. You know, what are we going to do with his back foot to alleviate hip flexor issues? How are we going to clean up bat path? You know, what are we going to do with Brandon Belt? You know, what's going on in his torso? And then you go to strength and conditioning, and you better have ideas on how you're going to program these things based on how they move. And then you go to the analyst, and you better know all their analytics and how you're going to twist their game planning. So you go in all these categories, and once again, I think the modern-day hitting coach, at least in our standard here to be a San Francisco Giant hitting coach, is we put a lot on you to be very thorough and kind of very buttoned up across the landscape in baseball. So it's not just, hey, you're a guy that, you know, puffs confidence into him. There's a lot more to it now.
Okay, quick pause to tell you about our sponsor, T-Mobile, one of our favorite partners because of how relevant they are to Giants fans. Because you're never far from McCovey Cove when you've got America's largest and fastest 5G network. In other words, T-Mobile is your ticket to the game, whether you're home or away. The Giants are big league. Why don't you come on up and join them? Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G. Fastest 5G by Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G Experience Report, January 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. And now back to Inside Giant Moments. The story of Alyssa Nacken has so many chapters, and many are still being written. Chapter 1 is one we don't hear about very often. She grew up in Woodland, California, with a family that made sure she was pulling for the orange and black as soon as she was 3 weeks old.
Alyssa, it's always awesome to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Mark.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, I feel like in thinking about this, when we get to share your story, it's often about the present because there's so many cool things happening to you in real time. But I also feel like because of that, we're maybe a little bit short on knowing about your past. So you grew up in Woodland. What did baseball and the Giants by extension mean to you when you were growing up?
It meant like it felt like summertime whenever I thought about baseball. I was 3 weeks old when I went to my first Giants game, and I'm the third child. So I have two older brothers, and I'm the baby. And I, you know, this could be speculation, but from other people who are also the third child or like the youngest in the family, parents just seem to not like protect you as much as maybe the first. And so rumor has it that I was passed around the bleachers at Candlestick at 3 weeks old in a little Giants cheerleader outfit. So, I can't say that I remember that, but I do have some really good memories of Candlestick Park and going there every summer a couple of times with my family. And that was back when you could take food into a stadium.
Yeah.
And I just remember getting there early and having like sandwiches in a little ice chest and getting there to watch BP and just trying to get like a home run ball or to get somebody to throw a ball over. It's actually been a pretty surreal experience because now we have fans in the stadium. And so fans are coming early to VP. And I'm just like seeing all these people and thinking, man, I remember doing this, like getting there as early as you could and trying to get a ball. So yeah, it's really cool.
I'm laughing extra hard because I have three children. And so I completely relate to what you're talking about with what we do with our third kids. You had no choice in this matter, did you? You were just going to be a Giants fan. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, I was.
with all those memories, anything stand out? Like, do you have something from childhood and a trip to Candlestick Park that sort of just like emblazoned in your memory there?
Yeah, I remember my grandparents would come with us to the games, and I didn't get to see them too often throughout the year, but we always made sure we saw a game or two at Candlestick together. And that was I just remember feeling like relaxed and so like at ease. And, you know, it was just a fun laid back time to just watch a game with your grandpa, you know? So I also remember I became a Phillies fan right away because that was the first ball I was ever given I can't remember who it was, but a Phillies player staff member threw a ball to me, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And he mentioned that the reason why he threw it to me was because there were all these kids around me that were like bigger, stronger, like all these boys. And then there was little old me with like a little Giants hat, like waving it, just asking politely for a ball. And I feel like that's my vibe now, you know, just kind of like stay humble, stay quiet, just observe and just weasel your way in to wherever you can get. So,
I I love it. What an amazing analogy that you just connected there with that moment with the unnamed Philly to what has ended up happening with your career.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, we have a lot of good memories. I was at Matt Cain's perfect game, which is just incredible. So lots of good memories with the Giants.
Where were you sitting for Matt Cain's perfect game?
Levi's Landing. It was the best
nice.
Spot ever.
Nice.
So cool. Yeah, it was awesome.
So you got a really good look at Blanco's catch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like an image I'll never forget. That was just incredible.
Definitely was. Did you have a favorite player, by the way, at any point through childhood?
I really liked Benito Santiago. I really liked how he carried himself, and he seemed like a strong leader behind the plate and just in the clubhouse. So I was a big fan. And Angel Pagan was also somebody that I loved to watch. I feel like he was just so entertaining, respected the game, played hard every single time he was on the field. And then I really tried to emulate JT Snow. I played first base in college, and you know, he was somebody that I studied and tried to learn from and tried to kind of make my game like his.
It's easy to gather in listening to you that you were a baseball family, and as you just stated, you obviously then went on to have a lot of success in softball. So I wonder what the evolution of that was growing up. You know, did you play a lot with your brothers, your parents, grandparents? How did they go about introducing all of this to you?
My brothers played Little League baseball in our hometown, and they were teammates with Dustin Pedroia. Woodland was, yeah, Woodland's a baseball town, and so they played, but I never played baseball. It was, I think my mom kind of consciously wanted to make sure that I was spending time with other girls too. I spent a ton of time with boys and was trying to play like every sport at school, like during lunchtime, and you know, all the boys were always playing football, so I was always with them, and my mom wanted me to have some interactions with girls. And the softball program in Woodland is actually really strong. So, you know, I was able to start softball at age 7 and loved it. You know, I really had no desire to play baseball because I loved softball so much. But my best friend, Carly, she played baseball and played Little League, and she was the only girl on the team. And she played until I think she was maybe even 13, like at least 12, you know, and you're 11, 12, 13, like around 11, 12, 13 year old boys. I mean, you know, that's an experience for sure. So
yes.
I was inspired by her just, you know, keeping up with the boys. And she was one of the best catchers in Little League, in my opinion.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, as this all starts to come together, you know, from just what your family's doing, your personal experience with it, at what point did a role with the Giants sort of become a goal or a vision of yours?
It was when I noticed that they had an internship open up in the front office and baseball ops. I honestly didn't ever really think like it could be a possibility, and I don't know why. I, you know, as an athlete all like growing up, I knew that I wanted to play Division I softball, and that was my goal. Like, I could see that. I thought about it all the time. Everything I did like was helping me lead, like, get to that goal. And then you graduate college and you're like, right, Okay, real life is here. And I honestly had no idea what it was that I wanted to do. And I was fortunate enough to get into a graduate program at the University of San Francisco, and would show up to USF's baseball practices and just watch and sit there and just think, like, man, I want to be like on that field, just around that, the coaching staff, and, you know, just learn more. And then I just asked like, hey, can I just be here? Can I help? Like, I'm a really hard worker, and I just want to learn from you guys. So Coach G and Greg Moore, he's now the head coach at St. Mary's, but Coach G, Greg Moore, and Troy Nakamura were like, yeah, you're hired, but we can't pay you and the hours are crazy. So I started working for USF's baseball team and absolutely loved it. And that was when I realized, like, whoa, I think I could see myself having a career in baseball. And that next year is when I noticed that the Giants had an internship open up, and I had some classmates that interned with the Giants and had different roles within the organization. And so that's really when I knew, okay, I think there's a lot of different avenues one could take to get to a professional sports team.
You know, your story at USF, I think, is incredible and relatable. It's amazing what we can get or achieve in life if we just ask, right? And I wonder, you know, that experience you just detailed, I bet you've kind of gone back to that well over and over again as you continue to achieve.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, some of the best advice that I was given before actually, it was right before we started summer camp last year. So it was during the shutdown. I was talking with Bobby Evans, and Bobby Evans was actually one of my supervisors when I was an intern in baseball ops with the Giants. And the advice that he gave was, hey, just ask to be there. Like, just like if there's, you know, if guys are working in the cage, like ask to be there. If there's work going on in the pen, ask to be there, ask questions, just observe and absorb as much as you can. And what I realized, like I was doing that, you know, I think my whole life, I just asked to be in a lot of places. But it's something like Bobby just so eloquently like spoke about that and the importance of that. And I just realized like, yeah, it's a way to kind of break down a wall and a barrier and just have like some good conversations with people, and you never know where those could lead you. So I'm a big fan of kind of insert, you have to have feel, right? Like that's a big part of it.
Right.
You can't just go ask for the world. Like
right.
You have to make the effort and do the work to set yourself up to succeed in whatever position you're asking to be in.
So you get this internship with the Giants, and there's your family having taken you to Giants games throughout childhood. As you start, what's their reaction?
Oh, they were so excited. They were so excited. The first game that they came to when I was an intern was, it was on my birthday, and like the people in the front office, they were like, oh, you should bring your family like in to see your cubicle and everything. And I did that. And my mom, being my mom, was like, I saw her grab her camera and like take a picture of my cubicle. I was like, Mom, you can't do this. This is the show. Like, you can't be doing that. So they were excited and very happy that I stayed, you know, fairly close. Woodland isn't too far from San Francisco, so they were really stoked about that.
I bet those pictures are still somewhere, though, aren't they?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Gosh, yeah. I'm sure they are.
You know, if we had told the younger you, let's say even, you know, 2005, you're 15, you're playing high school softball. If we had told that kid this story, what would her reaction have been?
That's a good question. I think the reaction would have been something along the lines of, this is a joke. No way could this happen. I also think like 15-year-old Alyssa was easily inspired. And so I think I probably would have gotten a lot of inspiration from it for sure. And that's a great question to kind of think about. I think at 15, you know, you're thinking you need to be all these things and try to fit in at the same time. And I think deep down I knew like, man, I don't fit in with the cool crowd all the time. But, you know, I understood the importance of staying the course and like showing up every day to school and to practice and to life, like as a daughter and as a sister, like as a good person and somebody that could add value to whatever it is you're doing. But I don't know. I never thought too much about it. I just knew like, this is how one is supposed to be in society, right? Like respect others and stay the course and like work hard and intentionally. Don't just like work hard to work hard and hang your hat on that, but be very intentional about what it is that you're doing. So I think, yeah, 15-year-old Alyssa would have probably laughed in your face if you told her the story and then like would have reflected a little bit and realized like, oh yeah, I can totally see why and how that happened.
I love the characteristic easily inspired. Do you consider that a blessing or a curse?
Ooh, depends on the day.
Right?
I think overall, I think it's a blessing. Once you can really be conscious about what it is you're inspired by, I think growing up, I was inspired by literally, I think every professional, like working professional I came across, it was okay, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a music producer. And it was only because, like, I saw these people or met these people and was like, I liked them. And their lifestyle seemed cool. And the work that they were doing was unique. But, you know, over time, as I got a little bit older, I started to recognize the importance of not trying to be somebody that you're not. And so what I started to do was just look at these professionals and these just people that I was meeting and pick up on things and characteristics of theirs and make them my own. You know, so instead of trying to be the, let's see, like a big time lawyer or doctor, it's more of like, okay, well, what characteristics make this person who I'm inspired by so good at what at their job? Oh, they really know how to connect with people. Okay, I'm going to learn and like really strive to connect well with others. Okay, how does this doctor do so well at her work? Oh, she really cares about the human component to her patients as opposed to just looking at a chart and going like line by line. Okay, so I need to learn empathy and be conscious about that. So I think as I got older, the inspiration that I found in others was super helpful for me because I understood, okay, I don't need to be exactly like this person and have their job title, but I want to take some of their best qualities and add them to my life where it fits.
Wow, I think that's really smart. You know, and look at where all of that has gotten you. And I know you get asked a lot to reflect on what has taken place over the last couple of years of your life, but specifically to now knowing that you're not just a Giant and a key role with the Giants, you're in the Hall of Fame as a Giant. Mm-hmm. I've got to know what that reflection feels like and sort of how you received that news.
Yeah, I mean, I have chills every single time I talk about it or I reflect on it, you know, and it's really humbling. And there are days where I feel like, man, there's so many others that need to be in there and need to have that recognition because without them, I could never be here. And so what I really have learned to reflect on is like, it's not just me personally. It is like a symbol of all the hard work from other females in the game and a lot of males in the game to help like push this door down and start to pave this path. And it's inspiring to me, like, and like, know that this is a responsibility I have as well. And, you know, it really helps me stay accountable and keeps me very humble and grateful for every single time I get to wake up and come to a baseball field for work, you know? Yeah. So I still don't have the right words to say about how I feel about all of that. It's just incredible and eye-opening and sometimes like surreal.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, go back to the moment you found out and as you sit here now and think about then, how would you describe the person you're looking at? Like, what was the reaction?
My reaction, you know, it wasn't anything outrageous. Our clubhouse manager, Brad Grimm, you know, he just came up to me one day before, I think it was during spring training of last year, and said, okay, so we need to order you like another set of your uniform because the Hall of Fame is going to want to take it and like take the one that you wear on opening day. And he said it like so casually, right? And Brad's been around some of the best players in the game and has seen so much. So he said it so casually. And I'm so thankful that he did because then I just took it as like casual, like, okay, cool. Yeah. Makes sense. You know, like first female. So just let me know like what I need to do and cool. You know?
Right.
And then like the coronavirus came and we got shut down and then I kind of forgot about it. And then we get to LA and he was like, oh yeah, there's going to be like a guy from the Hall of Fame who's going to want you to take your uniform off in the 7th inning, give it to him, and then we'll give you another uniform to wear for the rest of the game. I was like, whoa, oh, okay. But my reaction was always just kind of like, all right, there we go. But then, you know, when you have some time to really think about it and reflect, like, wow, this is really incredible. And it's so important that others are seeing this, like, not just young girls that go to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, but to young boys too, to see like, oh yeah, women totally belong in this environment, in this game, and can, you know, thrive here. So I think it's important that people see that. And I mean, kudos to the Hall of Fame for recognizing the importance of that and putting it up so more people could see.
Finally, the most notable Giants fan turned Giants player, the young Brandon Crawford in the famous picture, scared the Giants were about to leave town, became adult Brandon Crawford, two-time champion. Crawford shares what he remembers from those early days and how he transitioned into a star player for the team.
You are such an interesting story. We see this rarely in sports, where somebody grows up in an area, a fan of a team, and then gets to actually live out that dream and actually play for that team. You know, we always see the picture that's become famous from the paper of you in the stands looking sad as the Giants announced they were moving to St. Pete. What do you actually remember about that day when the picture was taken?
Not a whole lot, honestly.
Right.
I remember more of, I think, what my parents told me than actually remembering a whole lot myself. But, I remember it being potentially my last time seeing the Giants in San Francisco. My parents had told me that, you know, this could be my last game coming to Candlestick to watch the Giants. So, that probably explains the face a little bit.
Right.
I was probably sad my ice cream was gone too, because that chocolate malt was probably pretty good. That was all over my face. So that could explain it a little bit too. I don't know.
And then, I mean, as the picture comes out, and I don't know if I've ever heard this from you. Did it make the rounds at that time? And did you, you know, get a lot of attention at school or whatever because of it? What do you remember about the aftermath?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea. I mean, it was in the Chronicle, so obviously, you know, it's a big paper, and especially in the Bay Area. But I don't know how many first graders or whatever grade I was in or kindergartners were looking at the newspaper back then. So I don't remember a whole lot at school. I know that my parents made sure to get a few editions of the paper that morning, and you know, they still have some original copies, I think, at the house.
I would think so. Yeah, gosh, I mean, it's becoming an iconic moment. And then with what ends up happening with your career, what a story! So, like, flash forward to 2008. And you're drafted by this team. What do you remember about that day?
I remember it being bittersweet, honestly. I mean, obviously getting drafted by the Giants and seeing my name go off at the Giants' turn. I think we were watching it on the computer. That was obviously very exciting. Out of 30 teams, I heard from the Giants probably just as much, if not less, than some of the other teams, going into the draft. So, I obviously had no idea. And, that part was exciting. It was a little bittersweet because, from slip into the fourth round, because going into that season, I was still projected as a potential first rounder, and just didn't have a great junior year. It wasn't awful, but not great, and ended up slipping to the fourth round. So that part was a little disappointing. You know, watching other names go off the board and other shortstops go off the board, and you know, I was still there. So that part was a little disappointing, but obviously it all worked out pretty well, and I got to go to the Giants. Obviously I was excited about that also.
So you had very little idea that the Giants had interest in you.
I think I had, I think I had talked to them, to you know, somebody with in the scouting department, and I forget if I had like a sit down meeting. I know that happens occasionally, and I know it happened with a few teams, but I don't know if I ever actually sat down and talked to any Giant scouts beforehand. But I had heard interest, but nothing more than any other team for sure.
To what level have you had moments in your career where you look back on what may have felt disappointing at the time because you fell to the fourth round, but then now looking at what that ended up leading to, have those thoughts crossed your mind as a veteran player? Have you ever reflected on that?
I mean, I think the only time that I really, at this point, that I really think about, you know, draft day or being a fourth rounder or anything like that is when I'm asked about it.
Yeah.
Because obviously everything worked out, you know, even better than I ever imagined, you know, winning a couple World Series and, you know, going into my 11th season now with the Giants, like I never would have imagined anything like that happening. So, you know, definitely not disappointed anymore about being a fourth rounder or anything like that. Obviously, I'm happy. I'm happy with the way everything worked out.
So let's go backward a little bit. Why don't you describe, like, what kind of a Giants fan were you as a kid? Was this like, oh, you know, you ended up in a game, I'm a fan, there's some malts, or was this a big part of your childhood? How would you describe it?
I was just a huge baseball fan in general. I mean, the Giants were far and away my favorite team. But, you know, I knew players on, I mean, I think every team, definitely as I got older, but, you know, as probably closer to when that picture was taken, I definitely knew all the Giants and knew of other players around the league. I was baseball 24/7. So, you know, playing in the backyard, playing in the front yard, throwing balls off the wall, which probably annoyed my parents all the time. But I mean, my dad was a huge baseball fan, and I think he gave that love of the game to me.
Baseball cards? Yeah. What was it? Baseball cards?
Yeah.
Like, how does a 7, 8, 9 year old track players all over the country?
I think a lot of it started with baseball cards because my dad had a pretty good collection and kind of started me on that. Also, we would go to like card shows and a lot of times it was like trying to get autographs or something like that. But then, you know, we would stop by all those card tables and I would want a pack or two. And I just ended up collecting them in binders and stuff like that. And you get to know the names and, you know, when a visiting team comes in, you know, half of their team also. I thought that was kind of fun, you know, as a baseball fan, as a little kid.
What did it feel like the first time you saw a card in your hand that was you on it?
I think my first ever card was actually in college. I played on the national team, the college national team after my freshman year, and everybody had a card from that team. So that was the first time I really saw one. I thought it was really cool because I was still 19 years old. The first time I saw it. So, I thought it was awesome.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
Royce Clayton was my guy for a while.
Yeah.
You know, being a Giants fan and, playing shortstop and, in Little League and, you know, T-ball, I guess you kind of rotate all positions, but shortstop was my favorite. So I would always make sure to pay a little extra attention to the shortstops and, you know, Royce Clayton being the shortstop of the Giants became my favorite player. I don't know if he made some cool plays on a game I went to or you know, got a big hit or something. I'm not sure, but he became my guy for a while.
How often did you go to games?
I honestly don't remember. I know as I got older, it was kind of working around, you know, whatever other sport I had going on, or, you know, a kind of busier schedule, you know, in middle school and high school and stuff like that. But I feel like I would still get to, I don't know, probably 10, maybe more than 10 a year.
Yeah.
And then as a little kid, I kind of feel like I went to more, as a younger kid, because didn't have as much going on, but honestly, I don't know.
You know, you mentioned that, it's something that your dad kind of handed down to you, but I wonder how you also would just put into words that when you were a kid and you did fall in love with the game and fall in love with the Giants, what was it? What was it that brought you to the game?
So, I don't know. I think just being out, and just watching sports, watching baseball. I mean, I don't know if I can answer it, you know, other than it was my dad that introduced me to it. And then I think I loved it because he loved it. But then also just going out to a game and, you know, having a hot dog and watching baseball and, you know, a chocolate malt maybe to finish it off, and, just being outdoors with my dad or our mom or whoever ended up taking me to a game that day. I think that was the coolest part.
It sounds like it's a lot about the chocolate malts, and I'm not mad at that.
I don't know if I mean, I definitely enjoyed the chocolate malts, but I was just referring to that picture mostly because it was all over my face and shirt.
You're not doing it right if it's not all over. I mean, come on. That's the way you do it.
Yeah. Right. As I got older, it was that cookie ice cream sandwich that in part.
Yes, I've put a number of those away. I'm with you on that one. You know, look, I mean, you're a pretty low key guy, but I wonder as we then, you know, sort of push forward to what ended up happening. Like, how long did it take you to get used to the idea that now you're one of these players? Like, you're putting this uniform on. You know, you watched Royce Clayton, you watched all these others as you're growing up, and now you're one of them. What did that feel like?
I mean, I don't know if there was ever really like one moment where, you know, I was just kind of like in awe of what was going on or being on the Giants or anything like that. I think about it more, I think, when I kind of reflect back on things that have happened throughout my career, whether it's, you know, winning the World Series and, you know, after the parade or something, you know, reflecting back on my career at this point, and just all that's been, that I've accomplished and our team's accomplished while I've been on it. You know, it's times like that where it's kind of more eye opening or kind of like, wow, I can't believe this actually all happened, you know, cause I never would have imagined it as a little kid. I don't think there was ever a moment though, while I've been playing or even in the minor leagues, where it's like, you know, like, I can't believe this is happening to me or anything like that. I feel like I mean, like you said, I'm a pretty low key guy. And I think I just try to, you know, kind of take it one game at a time or one day at a time. And I know that's very cliche, especially for baseball players, but I mean, that was honestly my approach, you know, after draft day and going into the minor league system and just trying to work my way up to the big leagues eventually, just by taking it one game at a time. And I guess if there was one moment, it was probably when I got called up in 2011 and then, you know, put the uniform on and played my first game out in Milwaukee. I mean, that I guess if we're going to pick one time where it was really like, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me, I guess it would be then.
What was, go back to 2011. What was your story? What was the call up story and what do you remember from it?
It was a little bit different than most, I think, because I think there were two games left in minor league camp and spring training, and I was trying to lay down a bunt and broke my finger. So I ended up being out for six to eight weeks, something like that, with a broken finger. Ended up, I was supposed to go to AAA, Fresno at the time, to begin that season. But since I broke my finger, I didn't really rehab a whole lot in Arizona. I can't remember the exact reason, but didn't rehab a whole lot there. And they sent me to San Jose to start, just to get some at-bats and start rehabbing before going to AAA. And I had been there for a couple weeks, kind of was expecting the call up to AAA at some point pretty soon, because I had been feeling good. You know, the finger was feeling good. I was feeling good at the plate. And, you know, kind of got my legs under me for the season. So I kind of expected to get that call. And we were in Bakersfield, a beautiful ballpark there in Bakersfield, which is not there anymore. I had heard that Buster had gotten hurt in the game that night. I had a pretty good game at the plate there in Bakersfield, but I had heard about Buster, obviously, was sad for him, and you know, I got drafted with him, so I was pretty good friends with him at the time, and you know, I obviously sad for him and the team, but you know, maybe an hour after I had heard about that, I got a call from Bobby Evans, and he actually asked me how quickly I could get to Fresno. I was like, well, I don't know, Bobby. You know, I'm in Bakersfield, so I don't have a car. We came on the team bus, so what do you mean? He's like, oh, okay, well, I'm just trying to figure out how I can get you and Chris Stewart up to San Francisco for tomorrow. I'm like, well, like, what are you talking about? Chris Stewart was, you know, a catcher and AAA at the time, and he was going to come up for Buster. And I think it was probably a little less widely covered, but Mike Fontenot had gotten hurt that night also. So they needed a middle infielder. So then it kind of clicked on me, like, oh my gosh, he's calling me up right now. So ended up taking a flight from Bakersfield up to San Francisco early that next morning, and got there a little before game time. That was kind of the call-up story.
I mean, that's a little bit of a passive way to explain to a guy that he's getting a call to the big leagues for his childhood dream team, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think he probably kind of explained it a little bit better than that, but that's how I remember it. He definitely said something about how I could get to Fresno. I'm like, what are you talking about?
And then are there any other plateaus? I mean, maybe this is me putting it on you, but I mean, if you're sitting in a parade heading through San Francisco, does it hit your mind at any moment? Like, you know, little Brandon is now in a parade because the Giants won the World Series and I got a ring.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty cool. That was definitely something that I'll always remember. And I guess kind of one of those times where I did kind of reflect on what had happened and, you know, my time as being a Giants fan growing up. I obviously never got to witness a parade. To be in one, I mean, I wasn't up there. I was, I think, in Southern California or something in 2010. So I kind of got, I saw bits and pieces of the 2010 parade, but as a fan growing up, never got to see one. So, you know, to be in one, you know, cruising down Market Street, which, you know, going into the city as a kid, you know, you had gone through Market Street a few times, and to be going down a parade and everybody cheering for you was pretty awesome.
I want to ask you also about Mauricio Dubon, now a teammate who, you know, for him, you were his Royce Clayton as he was coming up, and now he's on the team. And I think he gets asked about that a lot, his high regard for you as he was coming up as a Giants fan. What's it been like for you to have this, like, super fan of yours become a teammate?
It's been great. He doesn't seem like a super fan. I mean, he definitely talks a lot and asks me a lot of questions, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that from a younger player, you know, asking a veteran guy, you know, about stuff, about playing shortstop, about approaches at the plate, or, you know, you know, different aspects of the game or about the coaching staff or, you know, stuff like that. Like, he's always asking questions, and I'm always available to answer anything he has for me. So, I actually like that a lot about him. And he doesn't come across as a super fan. So that's nice also. I mean, we've definitely talked about it a few times, but no, he's a good young player and fun to have in the clubhouse.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile. Don't forget to give us a rating and a review and share this episode with your friends and family. To make sure you never miss these exclusive conversations each week, subscribe and follow the Inside Giant Moments podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.